episode of the Step Outside podcast. My name is Katie Donaldson. I'm the communications specialist for the School of Natural Resources at the UT Institute of Agriculture. Today, joining me is Kayla Stewart. She is an urban forestry master's student, and you're here to talk to me about your thesis, which I'm going to read it off. It's examining the intersection of employment barriers and green industry workforce opportunities of people living in communities identified as overburdened and underserved.
Yeah.
So there's a lot.
It's a lot of big words, but it, in short, is examining why people that are in these communities identified as overburdened and underserved haven't had opportunities to gain entry into the green industry workforce, whether that's jobs and careers in arboriculture, culture, forestry, urban agriculture, nursery work. It just examines, you know, what's happened here. Why have you ever been outdoor to recreate? Like, have you ever had these experiences to introduce you to these careers?
And so far in your research, I guess, what have you found any specific issues that are the big reasons?
There are a lot of big reasons. There's a lot of barriers, and transportation is a huge barrier. And the way that just communicates across the gradient of, you know, education workforce is that if you can't successfully get to a job, you can't successfully get to a hiking trail on your own, like independently, then your opportunities to then engage in those spaces decreases significantly. So I found transportation is just an incredible barrier. And then, of course, we've got like cyclical poverty, we've got incarceration rates, just a myriad of barriers and obstacles that these communities tend to be burdened with.
And as part of your research, I'm assuming, are you also looking at solutions for overcoming those barriers?
Yeah, so I am looking at solutions. I have actually created a workforce development program called Tree CPR. And Tree CPR, the CPR stands for Care, Preserve, and Repurpose. And that workforce development program is centered around the urban forest and urban agriculture, really. And what it does is it targets people living in the underserved communities in training them with the technical skills, but also the soft skills needed to, you know, mitigate those barriers and then hopefully gain entry into these career fields with the assistance of industry professionals.
And you mentioned how transportation is a big barrier. Mm-hmm. I imagine this program, especially because it's involved with urban forestry, that will help overcome that barrier, since it seems like a really big one, especially within, like you said, these underserved communities.
Yes. So transportation can be not having a driver's license, having points on your license, or having fines, not having a car, not having access to save or gain credit, things like that. So there's many like kind of micro barriers within that larger barrier, and the program mitigates that by offering transportation. So during the program, if participants needed to be picked up, gladly we'll get you picked up. If they need a Lyft card or third-party transportation, I should say, we will do our best to provide that. And so towards the end of the program, we would hope to identify and help people get through those barriers. So it's getting the documents they need to get their driver's license, financial literacy classes to save money, credit history reports, and, you know, just things that they didn't know they needed to, you know, overcome those barriers.
And this program, is it a statewide program?
So as of right now, we have just run the pilot program in Memphis. And so that Tree CPR program was funded by a grant through American Forests. And the Works Inc. in Memphis actually was the recipient of the grant. So they received it, and they asked me to be the primary instructor. And then through that, Tree CPR was then born. So in Memphis, it has been done, and that was our pilot. And right now I'm working on a grant to apply for it to be run throughout the entire state. So in the major metro areas, Nashville, Chattanooga, Knoxville, and maybe the Tri-Cities. The participants that graduated from the program are huge advocates for it. And I am happy to have met them and still stay in touch with them. So it was a beautiful experience and a very meaningful and positive experience.
I know the push to increase the focus on urban forestry mm-hmm. in all communities usually benefits those communities.
Right.
Could you talk a little bit about how they benefit their communities by graduating from that program?
No, that's a great question. So the program itself was in a neighborhood called the Klondike neighborhood. So within that community, there's a high rate of poverty and there's a lot of other issues, but the urban canopy in that area is degraded. But you don't know what you're looking at if you have never been educated or you've never had an opportunity to really know what a healthy tree looks like, healthy vegetation. And so one of the first exercises we did was, it seems kind of corny, but we'd go out and we'd walk the block and we'd be like, this is a shrub, this is a tree, this is a vine, and this is invasive. And this is this. So we kind of progressed from just identifying different types of vegetation to identifying the trees and the species that we were actually looking at, and then identifying what's healthy, what's unhealthy, what was planted in the wrong place. And so we talk about right tree, right place. So going back to the education component, when they learn about these things, they're then able to implement them in their personal lives and then hopefully in their professional careers. So we've got some participants that actually, while we were still in class, would go to their, one of them went to their neighbors and was like, hey, your tree's dying and I can tell you why. Because they're able to identify the issues surrounding whether it's mulching or you've got like cinder blocks on top of the root zone.
Yeah.
You know, there's mm-hmm. different areas, but once they know, they're able to then share that information with people in their communities and their families and hopefully reinvigorate and regenerate a healthier urban canopy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just immediately think about the mulch. I think it's volcanoes.
Volcano mulching. So, little tidbit. During the interview process, this was before we had even gotten anybody, you know, confirmed in the program, we did a field trip outside because I wanted them to at least walk away knowing how terrible volcano mulching is. So all the trees that were planted near St. Jude's Hospital, just about, the landscapers just, they just like teepee it up. And I'm like, this is not good. Do not do this. So if they didn't get into the program, I'm hopeful that at least they walked away knowing volcano mulching is terrible.
Yeah.
You're going to choke this little tree out.
Mm-hmm.
So
I just immediately thought about that
yeah.
when you
yes.
mentioned walking around and looking at
yes.
The, I guess, vegetation in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
How many graduates did you have from that program?
So we started with a group of 12, and we graduated a cohort of 9. So we did expect some attrition, just because that's just typically what happens in groups. But surprisingly, the 3 participants that didn't make it to graduation they didn't quit. They didn't give up. They, you know, it just was not a programmatic fit for their lives at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I supported them through the exiting of the program. And I hope that they're successful in life, but it's one of those hard decisions to make as, you know, the director, the integral piece that holds it all together is how much are we willing to burden ourselves with? I kept reiterating to them throughout the program, like, I can't let one person sink our ship. It can't happen. We are worth it. What we have is meaningful. What we have deserves integrity, and I can't let one person bring us all down. And that's just life.
And especially with a pilot program where you're wanting to do more with it, it's important for it to be as successful as possible starting.
Yeah, we want the participants, like I wanted my people that I was with every single day in the class, I wanted them to feel like what they're doing is meaningful and has integrity and not being drugged down by anything else. And so I always tried to ensure that they had all the supplies and resources that they needed, and they appreciated that. They showed a lot of respect and gratitude for that, and it was very much mutual.
So with the classes you talk about, I know you said that you started out just going out into the neighborhoods and pointing out mm-hmm. the differences between trees and shrubs and non-native versus yeah. native. Once you got into the classes, what did you focus on skill-wise for those?
Surprisingly, we did a lot of soft skill training. So we did a lot of conflict resolution exercises, which are so much fun. They are, because it gives people an opportunity to really communicate. And sometimes when they've never had that, they don't know like what's right or what's wrong. And it was a safe space to explore that. So a lot of team building, we got out every single day. I told them at the beginning, classrooms are suffocating for me. We will be outside. If it's raining, unless it's like thundering and lightning, we will be outside. If it's cold, if it's hot, we'll be outside. And so kind of getting them acclimated to being outside every day, exercising every day, stretching every day, and then moving into conflict resolution, resume building, interview skills, those soft skills, those were more of our classroom. And then outside, we got a lot of experience with climbing and tree ID. We had Wes Hopper, who is, I call him the OG of urban forestry in Tennessee, because he truly, truly is. But he was a huge part of, you know, the education component in urban forestry. So we had Mike Bourne from California come in, Jeff Carroll from Pennsylvania, I think he's from Pittsburgh, Mike Larrabee, who's a Memphis native, he was an integral part in supporting not only me, but the entire program from its inception until like it for its future. And so, yeah, it takes a village on both sides. But there were a lot of skills learned. One of the things I don't think I've touched on yet is that in Memphis specifically, they are building an urban sawmill, which takes urban trees that are destined for the landfill mm-hmm. and turns them into either biochar, compost, or milled lumber. And so being able to show our cohort something so like pivotal, something, you know, just cutting edge, you know, in our industry is like, that's pretty special. That's pretty big. So we got to do a lot of field trips around that. So going to see the trees cut down on hotel properties and residential properties, and then following that supply chain, that chain of command throughout the entire process is pretty spectacular.
Well, and like you said, it kind of shows the where the like the cause and then the effect.
Mm-hmm.
Like where exactly. the effort is going.
Exactly. It's mm-hmm. the entire, like, it's that whole tree philosophy of like, we went to Memphis Native Tree Works also, so we were planting trees. So you got to see seedling to an immature tree, to a mature tree, to a tree being down, haul. You know, it's such a becoming moment. I felt like even for myself, because it's, you know, still so new mm-hmm. that, it was amazing to be able to share with them, or them share with me.
Yeah. And what do you think the future is for that program, and how will it incorporate into your research?
The next steps, we never like to talk about money, but it makes the world go round. And so right now I'm seeking funding for running this program in the other major cities in Tennessee. So that's what the grant application is for. But also I have a meeting with private funders that are interested in the program. So yeah, next steps are to get it funded. Once it's funded, the curriculum is going to continue to be Tree CPR. That's what the program is. But for each city, they don't all have the same needs, or they don't all have the same geographic or urban canopy needs. And so it's going to be modified to like kind of more specifically fit the geographic area that it is in. But I'm hoping that it's accepted and becomes a staple within the communities that need it the most, because I want to see more people like myself in this field. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't have gotten here without Dr. Sharon Jean-Philippe, who's another Black woman in forestry. And I want to continue to put into action all of these things that people talk about with diversity and equity. It's like, I don't want to just talk about it. I don't want to be on a board. I don't want to be a token or anything like that. Like, I want to act. And so that's what I'm hoping happens, is I'm able to act and really be the change I want to see.
Well, and it sounds like with the program, I think that's a door that, like I said, you're already moving through that doorway. So
yeah,
like you said, you just got to get that funding and push it a bit further. But yeah, I agree. I think a lot of communities would be interested in that.
Yeah. It kind of, being from, like, I'm an East Tennessee girl, like born and bred, the Appalachian Mountains are home. I love where I'm from. I really do. But I kind of have that, like, I don't feel alienated necessarily, but it's like, I don't want to feel like I am an outsider trying to come in and tell you what to do. That's not what I want to do. I hope that, you know, with the groups or with the people I'm able to share this program with, I hope they see it as like, I'm just a Tennessee girl, you know. I care so much about this state, and I care about, I feel like, who are like my people. We share so much in common, more than just like our skin color or our experiences. There's such a unspoken cultural bond that I like just want to embrace and then encourage to move in the direction of natural resources and preserving that, and really being an advocate for these green spaces, because urban sprawl is real, and the more densely populated these urban areas are, the less quality of vegetation we're going to see. And I think if we can get to the root of it, which are the people, that we can hopefully preserve that and then transcend it across, you know, barriers and the urban to rural gradient.
Is there anything else you want to add about your research or Tree CPR or anything going forward?
I think I'm hopeful that while I'm at UT, and UT has been so supportive of just me as a student, Dr. Sharon Jean-Philippe, my faculty advisor, I can't say enough about how meaningful her support has been in my entire career. But I want to help people, and I want to help preserve our natural resources. And I couldn't think of a better way to do it than through what I'm doing right now. Yeah. But I'm open to any critiques or feedback, though. You know?
And that's important.
It is important. Yeah. You know? I'm always open. Yeah. I actually really appreciate Red Pen. Like, I appreciate critiques and feedback and criticism. I think that's the only way to sharpen your tools.
Yep. I agree with you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those are all my questions. Unless there's anything I didn't ask you that you...
I can't think of anything. I always feel bad when I don't mention, like, my kids, because I, you know, coming from a pretty stable career in, like, nursing, this was a big leap. getting into an entirely different career. But with, you know, having my kids at home and my partner, I could not have done this. Like, I wouldn't be here if I didn't have the support system that I have. My parents, my brothers, my kids, my partner could not have done this. And so I always try to pay that forward, whether it's through this program or just like picking up trash that I see on the ground, being kind to people that maybe aren't either kind back or have had a tough day. It's just, there's no real like monetary or material value you can put on kindness. And so I really try to lead with that because you never know what somebody else is going through.
You don't. You never know the weight that they're carrying.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So that's always a pay it forward mentality that I got from my family and my grandfather. Yeah.
All right. Well, all right. Thank you so much for joining me for this month's Step Outside podcast. And thank you for watching. Tune in next month.